Good to be here tonight. I've enjoyed it so far, and I always enjoy getting the chance to preach to teenagers. Amen. And I've been this week. I have been in Austin, Texas all week doing a youth camp, and we had a blast down there. Even Texans can have fun. Amen. And we had a good time down there, and I flew home yesterday, got home last night, and then left this morning to come here. Amen. So I'm glad that I can be here, and looking forward to being at the meeting with Pastor Lance this week and seeing a lot of familiar faces already. How many of you have ever been to Mount Salem? Let me see you raise your hand. All right, a good number of you. Okay, how many were there this year? Keep your hands up. You were there this year. How many of you made decisions this year? Keep your hand up. How many of you kept your decisions that you made this year? Don't lie. God's looking. He's going to strike you dead. All right, good. You can put your hands down. Amen. And boy, I tell you what, I appreciate these young people. And I hope I can be a blessing to you tonight. And I hope that you'll open up your heart to the Word of God and listen very carefully. All right, I do have a few things back on the table that you can avail yourself to. Amen. I used to say take advantage of the stuff on the table, but people were. Amen. They were taking it and not paying for it. Amen. So look at the stuff on the table, and if you take it, you can pay for it. Amen. If not, take it, put it in your car, listen to it. You'll get right with God, and then you'll bring it back. Amen. Got a few messages back there. This is a message by Dr. Robert G. Lee, his famous message on Payday Someday. I promise you, you'll get a blessing out of that. Also, I've got a few preaching CDs back there. This one's entitled America's New God, and there's also a message back there entitled A One Night Stand at Hell's Hotel, and that's probably the most requested message that I have back there on the table, and I think it'll be a help to you. Every teenager ought to listen to that story from Proverbs chapter 7 about the young man that walked down the infamous road where the harlot was and messed up his life and ruined his testimony and everything else from there, and it'll be a blessing to you. James chapter number 1, let's stand in honor of God's Word. I'm going to jump right on into things. Tonight, I wanted you to give me your undivided attention. I don't want anybody talking. I don't want anybody fooling around. We've had time for singing. We've had time for fun. We've had time for games. But I take preaching very seriously, okay? And I want to be a blessing to you. I don't want to make anybody mad. But if you interrupt my preaching, I don't mind interrupting your conversations, amen? And so listen carefully to the Word of God. It's very, very important. Tonight could be the night somebody gets saved. Tonight could be the night somebody gets lit on fire for serving God, okay? So let's pay close attention to God's Word tonight, and I sincerely hope that I can be a help to you. Thank you so much, churches that are here involved in this. I love to see churches that have a heart for teenagers. And I don't travel as much as I used to. I pastor now, but I've been to a lot of churches over the past 10 or 11 years, and I tell you, the thing that breaks my heart is probably, Brother Lance, probably at least 75% of those churches do not have any kind of a youth department. I'm talking about nothing. I'm talking about no teen classes. I'm talking about no youth pastor. I'm talking about no youth activities. Nothing. So listen, thank God that you have a youth department. Thank God that you've got some young people in your church that you can join up with and serve God. Amen. And brother, if you get a couple teenagers set on fire, brother, ain't nobody can stop that. I'm serious, brother. You give me 5 or 6 young people that are fired up about serving God, and I can get more done with 5 fired up teenagers than I can with a whole church full of moss-backed, deadbeat Baptists that don't want to do anything. Amen. Brother, listen, you can turn a town upside down if you get on fire for serving God. Amen. And brother, take that passion that you have for everything else you're doing right now in your life and put that passion towards serving God, and you can really see something happen in your church. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I love serving God. I loved serving God whenever I was a teenager, and I still love it today, and I hope that you get that kind of fire tonight. James chapter 1 and verse number 22. Look at this verse with me. The Bible says, But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Look at the next statement. Deceiving your own selves. Now, who does the Bible say that we deceive? Does it say that we deceive our parents? Some of you think you have your parents deceived, but you don't.
Does it say that you have your pastor or your youth pastor to see? No. I get cracked up, Brother Lance, a teenager gets right, and man, they come to you an invitation and they say, Brother Randy, you're just not going to believe what I've been through. You're just not going to believe what I've done. And they tell me the story and I'm sitting there and say, uh-huh. And they're kind of waiting like, well, I say, you want me to be surprised? You see, they think that they've got the wool pulled over everybody's eyes, but everybody else can see it. Amen. Anybody with any kind of spiritual discernment, anybody with maybe not even spiritual discernment, just a little bit of life experience, can see that in most young people. So we don't have everybody deceived like we think we do. The Bible says that we deceive our own selves. You know why people will sit in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and never get saved? It's because they've deceived themselves. Deceived themselves. I want to give you an illustration tonight. Turn over to Genesis, of a young man who had deceived himself. Genesis chapter number 27. Genesis chapter number 27. We know the story here about how Esau and his brother Jacob had... Esau was the older, had a birthright, and had a blessing coming his way. And yet, his brother Jacob was very deceptive, very, very deceptive, and found a way not only to con his brother out of that birthright, but here what we're going to read about is he also tricked his father into giving him his brother's blessing. Look what the Bible says, and this is my text verse, Genesis 27, verse number 19. And Jacob said unto his father, look at this, I am Esau. Now, can I ask you something, young person? Was he Esau? No, he was not. He was disguised like Esau, but he wasn't. What was he doing? He was deceiving. He was deceiving. I want to preach a message on this thought. Stop deceiving yourself. Stop deceiving yourself. Friend, we live in a world surrounded by a bunch of false reality. Television puts false reality into our life. The internet puts false reality. Brother, if you don't believe that teenagers don't live in a false reality, just read what they say about themselves on Facebook and MySpace. I'm 6'4". I bench press 450 pounds. I mean, all this stuff, it's not even true. It's fantasy. It's not even reality. It's not even reality. I want to preach on this thought. Stop deceiving yourself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I need your power tonight. Lord, I need your help. Help me as I preach. And Lord, I pray that these young people know, Lord, that these folks in here tonight, they love them. Lord, their preachers love them. And Lord, I love them because I love them in Christ. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, as I preach to them. Lord, I pray that some lights would come on. And dear God, Lord, we know that sin is ruthless. Lord, we know that the world can take a person's life, and Lord, they can chew them up and they can spit them back out again. And Lord, we know what these young people are up against, but Lord, I pray that they find out, Lord, by the power of God, Lord, they can be overcomers. But Lord, they're going to have to get real with themselves, and they're going to have to get real with God. Bless, I pray, the message tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. My dad always told me, he said, son, he said, one thing you're going to find out as you serve the Lord long enough is you're going to find out that the people that you think really have it all together really don't have it together at all. And brother, listen, that is a lesson that I've had to learn, that a lot of people that I thought were spiritual, a lot of people that I thought were godly, I have found out were faking it. I had the opportunity, there was a good friend of mine this week at youth camp, that brother, he just seems like he loves God so much, has so much desire to serve God, but he got saved last night. You know why he got saved last night? He says, because I'm sick and tired of pretending. I'm sick and tired of being phony. He said, I've tried all week long to come down to this altar and make decisions like everybody else. I've tried all week long to come down to this altar and pray for the power of God. But I just couldn't get God to answer any of my prayers. Why? Because he hadn't been saved. Let me say, young person, it's a lot easier to be a Christian when you're saved. Amen. The reason why people cannot live a Christian life consistently, The reason why they last for like 2 weeks. The reason why they make a bunch of decisions at camp and then a week later it's gone. Why? Because it's fake. It's false. It's phony. It's a false reality. It's a facade that we put out there for people to see. Whether we wear a mask. We put a mask on. Brother, listen, I believe that everybody lives a double life. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's two-faced, but everybody lives a double life. There is a life that you live in private, and there is a life that you live in public. And the very hard thing to do, Brother Oxendine, is to get that private life to live up to that public life. And there's a lot of hypocrites in between that right there, friend. We'll come to church and the preacher said, how many of you read your Bibles? And they know they haven't read their Bibles. How many of you pray? Me. And we know that we don't pray and walk with God consistently. What are we doing? We are putting us something out there for people to see, something that is not real. Friend, I found out that the truth of the matter is, even though the majority of people that come to church on Sunday act like they're godly, act like they're spiritual, what I have found the reality to be is that most people are Bible and spiritual illiterate. And they have no walk with God, they have no relationship with Christ, they have no spiritual cores, convictions, or principles. What do? They paint it on. They paint it on. It's fake and it's phony. Many people aren't even saved that sit in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Brother, it's hard to be a Christian when you're not saved. Why do we put on a mask? That's what Jacob did. Put on a mask. Put on a facade, a costume, so his dad would think he was something that he wasn't. And someone that he wasn't. Why do we put on masks? Listen, friend, I found out people wear masks to cover up what they don't want people to see. Amen. There used to be a man in my church. I led him to Christ many years ago. My first tent revival was in 1998 when I was 16 years old. And I was able to reach this family through that tent revival. They were faithful to our church for many, many years. Mr. McKinney always had a big old bushy beard. Looked like Santa Claus. And I mean, he was jolly like Santa Claus too, amen. I mean, actually he looked like the roaming gnome. You know what the roaming gnome looks like, amen? He kind of looked like that. And but I asked Mr. McKinney one day, and we started talking about this a little bit. And he began to tell me the story on why he had such a big beard. And this is what he said. He said, whenever I was in the service, he said, I was shot in the face at close range. He said, that bullet absolutely disfigured my face. It blew my face all apart. And he said, underneath this beard, he said, I'm ugly. He said, underneath this beard, without it, people are afraid of me. Kids are afraid of me. And so I wear this beard so people don't realize what is there. What was he doing? He wanted to cover up something that he didn't want people to see, and I can understand that. But on a spiritual level, friend, there are a lot of people that they put on a facade, they put on a front because they don't want people to see all the ugly stuff that is behind it. That's right. And some of you, the only reason that you come to church, some of you, the reason that you came tonight is so that you could convince your leaders at your church that you are spiritual. But behind that facade, there could be some young people in here tonight that are dabbling around in some very wicked and shameful things. You know what you're doing? You're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. Listen, friend, you don't get away with it. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. There's nowhere that you can go to get away from the eyes of God. Why do we wear masks? People wear masks because they don't want others to find out who they really are. What do burglars do when they break in somewhere? They cover up their face. Why? So that they're not identified. So that nobody sees who they are. Amen. They wear a mask. Now, Jacob thought that he could have his way if he would just disguise himself. The Bible says that his father was going to bless him, was going to give him his older brother Esau a blessing. And that blessing rightfully belonged to Esau. He had every right to obey his dad and get blessed. His dad said, son, I'm getting close to death. And he said, I want you to go out. I want you to kill me some venison. I want you to cook that the way I like it. And then when you come in with it, I'll bless you. And so he goes off in the field to hunt it down. Now his brother and his mom find out what his dad is wanting to do. And mama gets their little boy in there and says, "Hey, you know what? Let's one up one on your dad. He's old, he's blind, he's not going to know." I just picture Jacob as being kind of a mama's boy. Esau was kind of a more of a manly type fella, always out in the woods, always out hunting, but not Jacob. He was a little bit still attached to mama's apron strings. And she says, "You know what we'll do? We'll trick your father." And she says, "We'll dress you up. We'll put on some of his clothes so that you'll smell like him. We'll disguise you like your brother." Now the Bible says that Esau was a hairy person. And so for Jacob to imitate his brother, he had to take animal fur and put it on his arms and on the back of his neck. Now friend, if you're so hairy that somebody has to wear animal fur to imitate you, then son, you are one woolly booger. That's all I can say. Brother, if somebody's got to kill an animal so that they can pretend to be you, talk about things that are weird, amen, tonight. That's pretty weird. I know some guys like that, amen. They sit around on their day off and they brush their kneecaps, amen. Don't laugh, some of you girls, may y'all sit around braiding your armpit hair, amen. But he imitates his brother and he comes in there and his father, when he walks in with that food, he says, "Dad, I've made this venison just like you like it." And he said, "Come closer, son." And he felt his arms and he felt the back of his neck and maybe he smelt his brother's clothes. And he said, "Boy, your voice sounds just like Jacob. But you've got to be Esau, because Esau's the hairiest sucker I know. So you got to be Esau." Amen. And he blessed the wrong son. And the worst part about it is his mother helped him do it. And woe be to the mom or dad that helps their child stay in sin. And woe be to the leader that covers up sin for their young person. Amen. Brother, you want to destroy somebody's life, you just help them keep themselves in sin. And you know what that mother did? She learned how to manipulate that father. And she taught her son how to be a manipulator. You know what we got in our church today? We got a lot of young people that are professional manipulators. You know how to manipulate your teacher. You know how to manipulate your youth pastor. You know how to manipulate your pastor. And every time something happens, brother, you got mama at your beck and call to come take up for you. You know where you're going to get in life? If you act that way and you don't take up for authority, you're going to get nowhere. You're going to get nowhere. Always take up for authority that is in your life. And listen, friend, Jacob lied to his father by pretending to be someone he is not. His father said, "Who are you?" And he blatantly said, "I am Esau." Brother, he was covering up. He was wearing a mask. Let me tell you what I see in our youth departments. I see in our youth departments a lot of good kids. We got a lot of good kids here tonight. But what I don't see in our youth department is a lot of godly kids. There's a difference. I know a lot of kids, they can get by just by being a good kid. Just by dressing right, acting right, conforming to the rules, conforming to church, conforming, conforming, conforming. But there's not a lick of godliness anywhere in them. You're good kids, many of you, but you're not godly kids. Now, I know there's an exception tonight. I've seen some young people right off the bat that you can tell there is sincerely something different about them. But many people just wear the mask. And so this is what happens. All of a sudden one day, preachers, and I'm sure you've seen this many, many times. I know I have. All of a sudden they graduate from high school. And brother, where do they go? They disappear. Nobody knows. Man, what happened to that young person? I thought they loved God. I thought they had standards. I thought they loved church. And now they're smoking and drinking and partying and everything else under the sun. And everybody thinks, what happened to that young person? How did they fall into sin? Hey, it's not that they fall into sin. It's not that something got a hold of them and changed them after high school. It's because they were a fake and a phony all along. That's right. And finally, they had the opportunity to take their mask off. Aha. Uh-huh. I don't have to be under mom and dad's rules anymore. Here goes the mask. I don't have to be under the rules of that Christian school. I don't have to be under the rules of that youth department. I don't have to be under the preaching of preacher all the time. I can make my own decisions. Guess what? This is who I am. I'm really Jacob. Amen? It's a mask. And so this is what happens. They get out in the world, and then one day they show back up at church, and they got tattoos all over their arms, and they got holes punched through their ears, they got a bone stuck through their nose, they got a big mohawk that's colored every color of the rainbow. And what do? They walk into church, not because they want to get a blessing from the preacher, not because they want God to speak to their heart. They walk back into church to say, God help your sorry little wicked heart if that's the kind of attitude you have towards people that have loved and invested in your life. You sound like this kind of preaching, brother. I got one shot at you, and it's tonight. Amen. Brother, I'm going to kneel on you while I got you. Amen. And everybody comes up to them, preachers, and I know you see this because I see it. Everybody in the church comes up to them because they're so glad they're back in the service, and they come up and they say, oh, it's so good to see you again, Sonny boy. Come give me a hug. Oh, we're so glad you're here. It's so wonderful. And you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking I'm going to go get a hold of that boy and say, son, shame on you for the way you're defying your parents' testimony right now. Shame on you for the way that you are spitting in God's face right now. Brother, listen, if you come back to church with an attitude like that, brother, if you want to treat the man of God that way, that's pretty low down, sorry. But I see it all the time. I see it all the time. You grew up in church preaching that you ought to live right and do right and that you ought to keep your life clean until the day that you get married. And what do? They come back in church 24, 25 years old with that girl, that guy they're shacking up with, just so they can say to God. I'm talking about deceiving yourself. Deceiving yourself. Why do people wear a mask? People wear masks when they're trying to hide from authority. Amen? You know what this story really boils down to? It boils down to a wife who broke the authority of her husband, who then taught her son how to break the authority of his father. That's what it boils down to. Now listen, friend, I'm here to tell you, and I know we've got some parents in here, but we've also got some leaders in here, and I just want to stop for a minute and say, don't be afraid to confront a young person about sin in their life. Why? Because it is helping them. It is saving them. You say, Brother Andy, I just don't feel like they'll think that I love them if I point stuff out in their life. Friend, what is more loving? Letting somebody's life go to hell or warning them about hell. That's like me saying, well, you know what? Brother Stephen, I know your dad's house is burning down, but, you know, I just really think it'd break his heart if I told him. That'd be stupid. Brother, listen, if I love the man, I'm going to tell him his house is burning down so we can get the thing put out. Well, you know, I love these teenagers so much. I just can't possibly tell them that that they're playing outside by a nest of rattlesnakes. It would just devastate them if I told them that. Bro, that's stupid. Listen, friend, every once in a while you just got to get a hold of somebody and say, hey, I know what's going on in your life, and you need to get right with God about it because this direction your life is headed in. That's what preaching is supposed to do. Amen. And young person, you listen to that. What'll happen is we'll let people wear that mask. And parents let them wear that mask at home. And we let them wear that mask at church. And before long, they start believing there's something that they're not. Before long, you'll start believing that you're saved when you're not. Before long, you'll start believing that you're spiritual when you're not. Hey, buddy, sit up on the corner there. Sit up. And you'll start thinking I'm Esau. I'm Esau. Hey, I'm Esau. And what will happen is, finally, the preacher will sit down with them someday and will point out the problems and will say, hey, it's time to take that mask off. And what do? How dare you touch that mask? How dare you tell me who I really am? And about 5 minutes later, you got an angry mama in the preacher's office saying, how dare you tell my son that he's a Jacob? Huh? Come on. You know why the preachers are shaking their heads in this service tonight? Because they know it's true. They know how young people manipulate authority. Can I tell you something, young person? Your parents are not your enemy. Your preacher is not your enemy. They are not your enemy. And yet you think they are. Somebody that loves you enough to stand in your way when they see danger is not your enemy. You know who your enemy is tonight? Your flesh is your enemy. The world is your enemy. And the devil is your enemy. I want to do something tonight. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. You three guys right here. You, and you. I want you to come up here for just a second. Hurry up. Let's go. Pronto, mucho, andale. All right, come here. Come stand right here, guys. Right here. That's right. Come here. Come stand right here. Now, these guys right here, this guy's going to represent the flesh. Can I say something about your flesh? Your flesh is omnipresent. You ever thought about that? It's with you everywhere you go. There's not a day that goes by that you're not going to have to fight this guy right here. This guy right here represents the devil. He looks like a devil, doesn't he? Amen. Can I say that your devil, the devil probably doesn't fight you nearly as much as this guy does? Amen. Your flesh is the hardest person that you'll ever have to deal with. Yourself, your desires. But still, the devil is your enemy, and you try to do anything for God, he's going to try to shoot you down. Now, probably most young people in here tonight have never had really an attack from the devil. Because you're not doing enough, brother. The devil didn't even know where you live yet. Now, you start serving God, he may show up. Amen. But right now, most of you, your biggest battle is the flesh and this guy right here. The world. Now, the problem is, you think that you have to satisfy this. And the problem is, right here, the world has convinced you that it is your friend. Okay? Come here, buddy. Yes, sir. Now, this guy right here, he represents every teenager, every Christian that's in here tonight. I want you to put your guns up. Point your guns, all right? Be sure you cock them. Now, I want you to point those guns at him. Just keep them pointed at him. You know what the flesh and the world and the devil want to do to this guy right here? They want to fill him full of holes. And brother, listen, they're not shooting rubber bullets. They shoot to kill. They're shooting for this. And they're shooting for his heart. They are out to kill. They are out to utterly destroy it. And I know some of you don't think that. I know some of you think that the world is your best friend, but they would kill him if they were given the chance to do it. Pastor Lance, I need your help for just a minute. Brother Stephen, I need your help for just a minute. Brother Oxendine and your wife, would you mind coming up here and help me in that, out with this for just a minute? I brought these people up here for one reason. Pastor Lance is a pastor. Guess what? This man is not your enemy.
That's right.
This man is one of the best friends you have. Your pastor is one of the best friends you have on earth. Brother Stephen is a youth pastor. Brother Stephen is one of your best friends because he's going to help you try to live right. And he's going to pray for you, and he's going to give you advice, and he's going to try to get on to you when you do wrong. That's what you call a friend. Pastor Oxendine and his wife, you know what they are? They are parents. Parents are not your enemies. Parents love their children. Now you say, well, my parents aren't saved. I don't care. The Bible says, honor your parents. The Bible says, obey your parents. It doesn't say, obey your saved parents. It doesn't say, honor your Christian parents. It says, honor and obey your parents. Okay, so we're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. That's what the Bible says we're in, right? Okay, I want all of you to point your guns back at the world, the flesh, and the devil. Just point your pistol right at them. All right, you too, point your pistol right at them. Now listen, this is the way God intended it to work. Out in front, Pastor Lance, leading the charge in our spiritual battle should be your pastor. And brother, listen, he's going to try to deflect those bullets. He's going to try to keep you from getting hurt. And following them are some good godly parents. And brother, listen, they're going to try to keep this young man from getting hurt. So get behind your parents. All right? But behind them, he's got some good godly influences in his life. And they're going to try to keep him from getting hurt. Now listen, as long as this young man stays where he's supposed to be, he's going to be okay. As long as he stays behind the protection of people that love him and care about him, he's going to be just fine. But this is what happens. He don't care what his youth pastor says. And his parents, they don't understand him because they lived through the 60s and not 2000. Amen. So he knows way more than they do because he's got all of 15 years of experience. And he's not going to listen to his pastor because he keeps him from having any fun. So what happens is, excuse me, I sneezed. So what happens is, these guys right here convince him that they are his friends. And the flesh convinces him that it's all right to do what he wants every once in a while. And his flesh convinces him that he needs all that stuff in his life. He needs that pornography. And he needs that music. And he needs all that stuff in his life. That's what his flesh convinces him. And brother, the devil is right in there with him. The devil's offered plenty of stuff out there. He's a prince in power of the airwaves, amen, and of the air. Brother, he's having a time destroying teenagers' lives. And the world, brother, they're all the time coming out with some new way to keep this young man from serving God. All the time, brother. Pastors know it. You know it. We're all the time having to deal with new devices that the devil throws out there. So this is what this young man does. Put your gun out. He's supposed to be fighting these guys. But you know what he does? Yes, sir. He says, these guys are my friends. These guys care about me. These guys want the things that I want. And preacher, you're trying to keep me from it. Mom and dad, you're trying to keep me from it. And youth pastor, you're trying to keep me from it. But you know what? All the while he's pointing his gun at his pastor and his parents and the leaders in his life, guess what his friends are doing? Put your guns back up, boys. They never put down their weapons. And they never stop shooting. Some of you need to get with your parents and your preacher, and you need to submit to their authority. And you need to do what is best for your life. Because I guarantee you, I know the world and I know the flesh and the devil, and it is ruthless and it is not going to stop until it has completely wasted your life. I'm talking about completely. I'm talking about it'll take away every bit of joy, every bit of happiness out of your life. You want to know why teen suicide rates are at all-time highs in our public schools right now? You want to know why? I'll tell you what VH1 and BET and CMT and all the rest of them aren't going to tell you tonight. The reason why teenagers are blowing their brains out is because sin makes you feel like trash. And it'll rob you of that joy, and it'll leave you feeling worthless. It'll leave you feeling like a used piece of garbage. Thank you. I appreciate it. Y'all can be seated. You see, you're fighting the wrong enemies. Why? Because the Bible says you've deceived your own selves. Deceived your own selves. Brother, listen to them whenever they get on to you. Listen to them whenever they put you in the right path. Brother, if anything in your life that will help you and will protect you is to get under the godly lines of authority that God has put in your life. Amen. It'll help you and it'll protect you from your real enemies. But I guarantee you, brother, as soon as they get in trouble, I guarantee you, as soon as that life's broke into pieces, the first person they call is preacher, the first person they call is mom and daddy, and they say, guess what? I've messed up and I'm scared. And they come walking back into the preacher's office with a box of broken pieces of their life, and they say, preacher, why don't you wave that magic wand over it and put it all back together again? Self-deception. Brother, listen, sometimes the best thing we can do is tell somebody the truth in their life. I was with a pastor down in Texas, and he got a call on his cell phone. It was from some parents. And he had just counseled them about 6 months prior to this phone call about their son. They called him. They said, preacher, we've got a son that got arrested this week on a DUI. And he's sitting down at the county jail, and we want to know what we should do. We're on our way to the county jail to bail him out. And the preacher says, you know what you need to do? You need to let him sit in jail. And they said, oh, preacher, that's our precious boy. We can't let him sit in jail. And the preacher said, the worst thing you can do is go down there and bail him out. And they said, you know what? Preacher don't know what he's talking about. That's our baby boy. We're going to go down and get him. And they bailed him out. I'm sitting on the phone with him. I just got picked up from the airport. I'm sitting there beside him. He's on the telephone. And it's the same mom and dad 6 months later. And you know what they're saying? They're weeping and sobbing on the other end of the phone because their son's in jail again. But this time he was drunk. And he just swerved and hit a car and killed the other driver. Oh yeah, the best thing in your life is for you to get bailed out of trouble every time. No, the best thing in your life is for you to get kicked in the seat of your pants and put back on the right path so you know not to do it again. Brother, thank God for some people that will set you straight. Brother, I thank God for my parents. Brother, they had rules and they enforced them. I thank God for my youth pastor. My youth pastor was hard on me. Brother, he'd get up every Sunday morning. And brother, he would rant and rave and rip and preach on rock music and drugs and everything else. And brother, I didn't even take drugs or listen to rock music. But we got every, I mean, he'd take rock CDs and he'd slam them on the ground and he'd bust them in half and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? I needed that as a teenager. It kept me living right. It kept me straight. Thank God for the godly authorities in your life. Why do people wear a mask? People wear a mask when they have something to hide. They wear a mask when they have something to hide. Matthew chapter 7. Turn there quickly. Matthew chapter 7. Look at these verses. You with me tonight? Say amen. Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 15. The Bible says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. But ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. The Bible says that a lot of times a fake or somebody that is false, somebody that is a wolf out to devour, out to destroy, a lot of times they will come in a disguise. They'll wear sheep's clothing. Why? Because they don't want people to know who they are. Brother, our churches are full of them. Our churches are full of church members that are waiting to feed on a man of God. They've got blood dripping off their fangs, ready to take down a preacher. But what do? They come in sheep's clothing. And they convince everybody that they're spiritual. They convince everybody that they're godly. But it's all a fake. And brother, listen, we hide things that we don't want people to know. We hide sin. Brother, we hide secrets. Brother, we try to disguise our spirit because we don't want people to know what's really going on in here. And brother, when somebody says, all right, how many of you are saved? Up your hand goes. Knowing that there's never been a time in your life where you have ever been saved. But then your youth pastor comes to camp or he comes to youth conference and he raises his hand and he says, man, pray for our youth department. I believe we got two or three young people that aren't saved. And you're sitting there thinking to yourself, how does he know that? I'll tell you how he knows it, because the Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. Amen. And some of you, you claim to be saved, but there is no spiritual fruit in your life. None. None whatsoever. As a matter of fact, there's just the opposite. Brother, if we're walking through the woods and we come up to a tree, and I say, man, Brother Lance, what do you think about this apple tree? And he says, Randy, that's not an apple tree, that's a pine tree. Now, we're just pretending it's a pine tree. Amen. It's really a fake tree, in case you didn't know. And he says, that's a pine tree. I said, Brother Lance, how do you know that is a pine tree? That is an apple tree. If I have ever seen an apple tree, that is an apple tree. He said, you're retarded. That is a pine tree. I said, Brother Lance, how do you know that that is a pine tree? And he says, because it's got pine cones on it. You see, you're going around trying to convince somebody that you're something that you're not. And some of you just need to get saved.
That's right.
Amen. Some of you need to get saved. By their fruits ye shall know them. Brother, if all you have is thorns, then you're a thorn bush. Amen. You're not a fruit tree. Amen. And it's going to come out. You can't fake it long enough, brother. You cannot live a consistent Christian life if you have not been born again. Where's your fruit? Where's your fruit? What about your attitude? What about the fruits of the Spirit? What about love, joy, peace, long-suffering? What about all that stuff? Where's that in your life? Why do people wear masks? People wear masks that live in a false reality. What do? They ever seen somebody dress up in a costume and it's like they completely come out of their shell and they can really pretend to be that character? They put on a clown suit and that's who they pretend to be. They put on whatever and that's what they pretend to be. What is that? That is false reality. That is putting something out there to make a scene. Amen. Listen, friend, that is how we are as Christians many times. And that is what television creates. It creates an environment that does not exist. Especially these reality TV shows. Friend, there is nothing real about reality TV. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. But you know why reality TV is so popular and why so many young people are into it big time? This is why. Because reality TV combines fantasy with reality. And what they do is they create a scenario of something that they think people will be fascinated with and just run it on live television. Shows like The Bachelor and all that. Friend, that is not reality. Okay? But they'll take a young man, they'll line up about 25 girls, and they'll give this guy an opportunity to date every one of them and make out with every one of them and commit sin and fornication with every one of them, and then he narrows it down to the one. Friend, that is not reality. That is called fantasy. Because they know that that is every man's dream, is to have about 30 women to pick from. That's not reality. All right? Some of you guys will be lucky to get one girl in your lifetime. Amen? Son, especially if you keep eating grass, amen. False reality. I was preaching at a youth conference. There was a pastor that was with me from California. He had a young lady in his church that was 15, met a guy on MySpace that was 17. Look at me. We'll talk later. Met a young man on MySpace that was 17. She lived in Redding, California. He lived in New York City. Her parents didn't realize what she was into, didn't realize that she was dating somebody online and that she was planning to run away from home. She ran away. Her parents couldn't find her. I'm talking about 15 years old. They're looking everywhere for their daughter. They go to the airports. They put out the information there. They go to the bus stations. Brother, they send the church members to the train station and they find this girl at a train station, ready to take a train from Redding, California to New York City. Brother, that would have taken her about 15 years. That's a long way. But they found her before she got on the train, thank goodness. They brought her back. They took that information that they had from MySpace to the police station, let the police investigate it. Come to find out, the 17-year-old boy she's going to see in New York City was a 57-year-old perverted man. But that's what I'm talking about. False reality. That's how we live. That's how we live our lives. Brother, the world paints an illusion out there that drugs are just going to be the best thing that ever happened to you. The world paints an illusion that alcohol is going to be the best thing that will ever happen to a teenager. The world paints an illusion that smoking pot is going to be the best thing that ever happened to a teenager. I was talking to a youth pastor on the way here tonight. I found out about a bunch of youth in his church, including the pastor's son, smoking pot. Why? False reality. It's not real. You know where all that comes from? It comes from peer pressure and it comes from the influences that are in your life. I guarantee you there has been nobody that has ever done drugs for the first time that wasn't influenced to do it by somebody. You don't just take drugs just to take drugs. No, you do it because somebody you know does it, or you've been influenced to do it, or you've been tempted to do it. People don't just drink alcohol just to start drinking it. No, they learn it from somebody they respect or somebody they look up to or a peer. It's false reality. Brother, listen, sin will make you do stupid things. It really will. It'll make you do stupid things. I heard about a pastor told me he had a young lady in his church. And they'd go down and they'd sing at the rescue mission all the time. Down in Oklahoma City. And they'd go down there and they'd take a bunch of preacher boys and they'd take this one young lady down there to play the piano and sing. Well, one afternoon they gets back to the church and brother pastor's waiting on him to come back. And he don't know what's going on, but come to find out, this girl ran away with a man from the rescue mission. Now, young people, listen to me. If you're going to run off with somebody, don't run off with somebody that lives in a rescue mission. Amen. That's not very intelligent. That's not very bright to run away with somebody that's already homeless. But that is how stupid sin makes people. Here's a good young lady, grew up in a godly home, going to a great Bible college, and she runs off with a guy at a rescue mission. Brother, listen, sin will make you do stupid things. I'm almost done, but I want to show you one more passage of Scripture in here. James chapter number 1. James 1, we'll read this again. The Bible says in verse 22, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." You know what the Bible says? The Bible says whenever we have ourselves so deceived that we can actually look in a mirror. And the mirror, by the way, is God's Word. It shows us who we are every time. And walk away from that after what we have seen of ourselves and think, that's not me. That's like you going to your mirror in your bathroom and looking at yourself and saying, "Whoa! Look at that big pimple on my nose. That thing is monstrous. There is no way I can go to school today with that big old pimple on the end of my nose." But then you put that mirror down and you say, "You know what? That mirror don't work. That stupid mirror, it's made in China, man. What does that mirror know? I don't have a pimple on the end of my nose. And you walk back into school that day, and everybody's looking at you like, holy cow. Man, don't get too close to me. I don't want to be around when that thing goes off. And you walk around like, what's everybody looking at me weird for? There's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with my face. That's what we do sometimes. We'll sit in a service. We'll look at the Word of God. And the Bible tells us that we've never been saved. But we walk away and we say, what does that Bible know? What does that Bible know? That Bible shows us that we're not right with God. That Bible shows us that we're hiding sin. But when we deceive ourselves, see what I'm saying tonight? Brother, you better be careful. God can't do anything with you until you become honest with yourself about your situation. Honest with yourself about sin. Know where you're at. Listen, that prodigal son, listen, he wasn't ready to come home until he got real about his life. Until he got real about where he was and what he needed to do. And that's what some of you need to do tonight. I can tell there are a few of you tonight, you ain't going to make any decisions. You don't care. You're rolling your eyes. You don't give a rip nor flip about anything I've said tonight. But there's going to come a time in your life where reality is going to set in. And you're going to say, boy, I wish I'd have listened a little bit better. I wish I'd have paid attention to that service. It would have saved me a lot of heartache, a lot of grief, a lot of baggage in my life. But we cannot do anything for you tonight until you get honest with yourself about who you are. And Jacob, brother, he lived most of his life deceiving himself. You can close your Bibles and look this way. Let me tell you what ended up happening with Jacob. God eventually took Jacob's mask off. And it's just a matter of time before God takes your mask off too. It doesn't matter if you're on staff at a church. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor of a church. It doesn't matter if you're a teenager in a church. If you are faking it, God will reveal who you are. He always does. Let me tell you what happened to Jacob. Genesis chapter number 32, the Bible tells us that Jacob one night had sent his family off and he was alone by himself. And as he gets ready to go to sleep, there comes somebody out of the middle of nowhere and begins to wrestle with him. I mean, in the middle of the night, he thinks this guy's trying to rob him. He thinks this guy's trying to kill him or something. And here they are, they're wrestling on the ground. And the Bible says that they fight all night long. Now, all night long is a long time to fight. Brother, I've done some wrestling in my life. I've done some boxing in my life. And brother, 2 or 3 minutes is enough for me. But all night long, they fight. And the worst part about it is no one was prevailing against the other. Nobody was winning. Now, brother, when I get in a fight, I'm poking eyeballs, I'm biting, I'm pulling hair. But I want to get it over with, amen? Ain't no such thing as a fair fight. I had a friend who used to work in the coal mines, and some big old boy was threatening to whoop him. That guy was coming after him. He bent down, and he picked up a rock, and he threw him, and he hit him right upside the head. That guy said, that ain't fair. He said, what do I look like, Roy Rogers? Amen? Ain't no such thing as a fair fight. But nobody was winning. All of a sudden, the Bible says, the day began to break. It began to get light outside. And Jacob didn't realize it, but he was wrestling with a messenger from God. And the Bible says that that angel put his hand on his thigh and put it out of joint. And that angel said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said this. He said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. But that angel asked him something very interesting. You can look at it for yourself. That angel asked him a question. You know what he asked him? He said, what is your name? What did Jacob say his name was when his dad asked him that question? He said, Esau. He said, I am Esau. But now the angel's asking him that same question. What was his name really? What was his name? It was Jacob. You know what Jacob means? Jacob means liar, means supplanter, means a twister of words. And for the first time in Jacob's life, God had pulled his mask off. And Jacob said this. He said, I am Jacob. And that angel said, that's what I needed to hear. And he says, your name will no longer be called Jacob, but now they'll call you Israel, for now you're a prince with God. You know where Jacob's life changed? When he got real with himself about who he was. And some of you tonight, I want you to just forget about who's sitting beside you. I just want you to forget about that friend. I want you to forget about everything else. And I want you to be honest with yourself. Are you saved? Has there ever been a time and a place in your life where you trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior? I was 12 years old when I got saved. I could take you to the very spot that I knelt and asked the Lord to save me. You realize everybody in the New Testament that got saved at a time and a place? The Apostle Paul, the thief on the cross, the woman at the well, the Philippian jailer, the Ethiopian eunuch, on and on and on and on we could go of people that were converted. And they had a time and a place. What about you? What about you? Have you ever been saved? Do you know it? Some point in your life, you're going to have to get honest with yourself. And some of you, the reason why you don't want people to find out about your life is because you're scared of what they're going to think about you. And you're scared of what the consequences may be. And so you're wearing a mask. You're covering it up. You're covering it up. You're hiding things. And your mind right now was thinking of what those things are. Stop deceiving yourself. The Bible says we don't deceive anybody else but us. You're certainly not deceiving God. The Bible says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Appreciate your patience. Appreciate you listening tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask you the question again. Do you know that you're saved? Nobody talking, unless you're being dealt with by somebody. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, Brother Randy, I know for sure that I am saved. I'm not somebody pretending to be something I'm not. I know that I'm saved. Here's my hands, a testimony to that. I know that I'm saved. Slip it up good and high. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, Brother Randy, to be honest with you tonight, I really don't know. Maybe it's something you've struggled with. Maybe it's something you've been concerned about. And you say, Brother Randy, that question has haunted me for a while. And I lay in my bed at night and I toss and I turn and I worry that I'm going to die and go to hell if I don't get saved. Brother Randy, I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but I believe that Jesus died for me and I believe that He would save me if I would just be willing. Brother Randy, please pray for me. I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but I'd like to be. Would you slip your hand right up tonight? Let me take a look at it. Don't know that I'm saved, but I'd like to be. Just slip it right up, right back down. Don't let me miss you. Don't know that I'm saved. Don't know that I'm saved. Not every hand was raised when I asked the first question. Why is that? Were you just not paying attention? Do you know that you're saved? Our heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe there's some things in your life that you need to get squared away. You say, Brother Randy, there's some things that I know are going to keep me from serving God. Maybe it's your music tonight. You say, Brother Randy, I like my music. My music is one of the favorite things in my life. Yeah, but it also can be the most destructive thing in your life. Music will give you that rebellious attitude, rebellious spirit, turn you against authority. Brother, there is nothing more dangerous in the life of any person than rock and roll music and country music. Brother, you can't tell me there's anything good that comes out of that. You say, Brother Randy, I need to make some decisions tonight. Maybe about some friends. Maybe about some things. You say, Brother Randy, I just need to get real with God. I need God to take my mask off. I need to get real with God. Here's my hand. Please pray for me. Just slip it right up. Right up. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to say a word of prayer. If God spoke to your heart tonight, don't wait. Don't worry about what anybody's thinking. You come find a place at this altar and say, Oh God, help me. Help me to do what's right in my life. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless this invitation. Use it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.